You know, I want to read a verse to you. The prophet Jeremiah, we talked to him, and you know, there's stuff is always going on, you know. It's like never ending, and it's easy to get overwhelmed or whatever. And so in the middle of that, it's always nice to be able to have words from God to reflect on. And so this is one that I think about and that I often remind folks of. And so it's Jeremiah 29:11. I know a lot of you have already heard it, but it's always good to hear again. And this is God speaking to you. And he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." You know, and that's kind of the heart of God. And sometimes, you know, we get in the middle of stuff and things are going on and you forget about that, you know. He says, he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. So, you know, that's something that you can always open the Bible, Jeremiah 29:11, and read that and know that the God of the universe is on your side. Okay, this is homework here. This is, and if you read in your book as you're going through, you want to write this down. This guy here has a really unique ability to capture the essence of the whole Bible, the mission of the Bible, and the gospel in about 7 pages. So you can read through it. It'll take you probably 5 minutes. But you definitely want to read this, okay? And I forgot to put that on the homework sheet. But if you actually go through and do chapter 1, it tells you to go back to page 262 and read. So you definitely want to go there and make that something that you need to read. So pages 262 to 269. It'll really kind of put the whole next section of the book that we're going to do in focus. So I think we're ready for the next one. Question? It's in that book. Yes. It's in the 30 Days of Understanding the Bible. Okay. I spent 20 years in the Navy. I moved 23 times in 20 years, but that's really not, you don't really get the feel for that when you consider the fact that in the last 10 years, I moved from Oxnard to Ventura, from Ventura to San Diego. So 3 of them were in the last 10 years, 20 of them in the first 10 years. That's a lot of moves. So I can totally appreciate when somebody has to move here and we all get the trucks together and, you know, and Sunday afternoon we like, we go over there, we load everything up, we get them moved in an hour. That is so awesome. Because I have done, you know, you move to a place, the Navy's real good, they'll move you into a place. They got the professional packers, they'll pack dirty dishes, everything goes trash, everything goes. And so you get there and you go, okay, you know, you're brand new, you don't know where you're at, and this looks good, and rent's cheap, and then you get there and people break into your house, steal everything you got, and you go, oh, not a good place, I gotta move. So you move across town, and that's the crosstown moves that kill you, you know. And so what's this got to do with anything? I don't know. It's basically, the reason I'm saying this is because most people just really, like geography, it's like, oh, not that, you know, it's so bad. But for me, what happened was it took me about 9 years. How smart I am. About 9 years for me to figure out, hey, when you get to a place, you need to get yourself one of those Thomas Brothers maps. Because, you know, you're not lost. For the first 9 years, I get to some place and I just be like, boom, wandering around, trying to figure out where I'm going. I mean, without a map. I mean, it's just, it's stupid, you know? And so, I'm saying is that when you're reading through and you're hearing about this letter to the Galatians, where's that at, you know? You know, or the letter to the Ephesians, where's that at? Or Canaan, where's Canaan? You know, where's Canaan in relationship to Israel? It's the same. Yeah, it's the same. And so the point I'm trying to say is that we're going to look at some maps, and I know maps aren't the most fun thing, but for me, maps are critical because it enables you to get a mental picture. So when Jesus goes from, Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, up to Jerusalem, you know a little bit about it. He's actually going south. He's not going north. He's going up because Jerusalem was set on a plateau, you know. And then you know about how many miles. You know the Jordan River connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. You know, stuff like that. So it helps you kind of get a bigger picture of where we're at. Then I'll be honest with you, this is the toughest one to teach because you just got to grit your teeth and do it. So I got some homework here, and it's got a map, and we'll kind of get a feel for it, how it works. But so we're going to go through the geography section fairly quickly because you have to do it. I can't do it for you. You know, I just can't. So let's take a look. So this is the work map, locations in the Old Testament. Are these out of order? Yeah. You guys get that? Okay. Oh, we're almost done. Okay, so you know what? These maps, it's really tough, too, to find good maps that show up here. Can we dim these lights right here? Maybe it'll help it. These guys right here. Your other right. There you go. This is tough. Where I got these from was at Bible.org, and if you go there, and it's not really easy to find them, but once you get to them, they are like crystal clear if you look at them on your computer. And so Bible.org. Okay, this here is the Persian Gulf. All right, this is the Persian Gulf. And you know, this map actually may be better. Okay, let's undo that. Okay, down here is, I got to use this other map. I just can't do it without it because this is the Persian Gulf. I struggled with this. Trust me. I mean, I'm thinking, how are we going to do this? This is the Persian Gulf. This is what we all know about the Persian Gulf. What's near the Persian Gulf? Iraq, yeah. But, you know, it's really the Persians in the Persian Gulf area is the Iranians. If you go to Iran and call them an Arab, I mean, it's like, ooh, they don't like that. So in modern day, this over here on this side of the Persian Gulf is Iran, and over here is Iraq. And then you have, up here you have the Tigris River, and then on this side you have the Euphrates River. And I think if you remember back, I can remember back, the Fertile Crescent. Anybody ever remember that? The Cradle of Civilization. You learned about it in school probably. I don't know if they still do it, but I remember that. This is that Fertile Crescent that they talked about back in school right here. So you got the Tigris River, the Euphrates River. Down here you have the Red Sea. Okay, right here is right around this area here is where Moses parted the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea for Moses. And then here you have the Mediterranean. This is modern day Israel right in here. You see Gaza. You hear about that on the news all the time. This is Gaza. This is the Dead Sea, and this map kind of covers it up. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to another map that's covering this area here. Okay, so let's go there. And this is, here again, not much better, but you can see here is the Sea of Galilee. You can't read it, but this is Capernaum, and we're going to go back to the map that we had before. the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, goes down here, empties into the Dead Sea. Okay? Over here is the Mediterranean again. Over out in this area out here is the Tigris and the Euphrates. So, let's go back. Okay, so let's turn to 26. Yeah, 22. Okay, on 22 and 23, actually, what I'm going to be looking at is, and this is to show you the simplicity of the book. If you look out here, number one on the map, on page 23, you look at number one, and then you look at number one over here. That's the Mediterranean Sea. So what you do on your map is that right here, right next to the number one, you write Mediterranean Sea. Okay, and then so number two, which is right here, okay, if you look over here, number two is the Sea of Galilee. So here you write the Sea of Galilee. Number three is the Jordan River. That's right here. The Jordan River connects the Sea of Galilee to the Dead Sea. So there you're going to write Jordan River. Number four is the Dead Sea. And it says right here, the Dead Sea. And when you go back and do these, I want you to read through these descriptions. Because it's kind of interesting, actually. The Dead Sea, shaped like a giant hot dog. Yeah, with a bite taken out of it. I mean, what could be better than that, right? It's the Hebrew National, too. We had some yesterday. Those were really good hot dogs. They're really good. Yeah. You know, because they're, what's the thing? By a higher authority or something? So, yeah. So anyway, let's go through. We got four, and then over here, we got number five. And so if you look in your book at number five, you got the Nile River. Okay? Number six. Okay, over here you got, always remember the Tigris is on top. Right? The Tigris is on top. The Tigris is the most northern river, and the Euphrates, number seven, is the southern branch. Okay? And then eight, Persian Gulf. We already talked about it. So we turn the page. You guys got it? Good. And here again, if you know, don't get flustered if you get a little behind, because you got 2 weeks to get this done. Okay? So then we have here, the A, right over here, if you look at A, is the Garden of Eden. Okay, this is important here because it says the exact location of the Garden of Eden, where everything began, is impossible to pinpoint. Mainly because there was a huge worldwide flood. And so, it's, and the shape of the, I mean, the distribution of landmass on the earth changed a whole bunch. Okay? I couldn't believe it on Discovery Channel. There was a guy on there saying, I was amazed. He wouldn't say that there was a worldwide flood, but he's saying, in almost the whole world, there was a flood that took place, and it coincided with Noah's flood. I'm thinking, wow, this guy's really smart. Okay? So, right here. Now, this is on B. B, it says, Canaan, Israel, Palestine. Okay? And it gives it those three names because, depending on what point in history you're talking about, it's the exact same piece of real estate. So when you're reading about Canaan, they're talking about Israel. Okay? Canaan's the Old Testament name for it, up to a certain point anyway. And then you have, it becomes Israel. And then after Israel, it becomes called, during the time of the Romans, Palestine. So, this one here is a big one, okay? And it was named after, at least Israel, named after this guy Jacob, right? God changed his name to Israel. So, there we go. B is Canaan, Israel, or Palestine. C, this is Jerusalem. Everything's happening in Jerusalem. D, Egypt. E, Assyria. Okay? So now on a map, remember we talked about the divided kingdom. Go back. We talked about the divided kingdom. Remember, this is Israel right here. And so when they became divided, the northern was called Israel. Assyria came down and conquered these guys. Okay, the southern kingdom down in this area was called Judah. Okay, the whole thing here, though, Canaan, Israel, or Palestine. So, where are we at? F is Babylonia, right here. Nebuchadnezzar, he was the man. F, and then G is Persia. And they bring that in because the Medo-Persians are guys that came in and whooped up on the Babylonians. Okay? So, basically this next slide here that we went through, there's a good chance that this will be on the quiz too. Okay? And this is on your homework sheets. And you know what this year is mixed up, the ones on your homework sheet? A couple of them are in order. I want you to just be aware of that. When you do this homework, when you get to the second page here, there's actually four of these where you're going to write the stuff in. And two of them, are you with me? You're not with me. Okay, two of them are going to be exactly the way they are in the book. And what I found is people, after they've done about two, they got that list memorized, and they'll just write them in. Two of them are the other. There's another two that are different, though, because I want you to actually be able to associate that location with a real name, just not a rote number that you've got memorized. So keep that in mind when you do this, because otherwise you're not going to get the full impact of doing this. So there's four of these that you can fill out when you do your homework. We good? Yes. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It helps, definitely. But keep in mind, I tried to trick you on two of them, so keep a close eye out for that. But it'll really help you to know the actual locations. That's the point, is not to get the right answer so much as it is to understand the answer that you're putting down. So I'm just going to breeze through those because you're going to do them anyway. There's the map. And let's move on to the next one so we can get out of here on time. While we're getting ready here. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, that's right. Page 32 and 33 in your book. Okay, now we're kind of getting into the meat of the thing, and there's going to be a large portion of the book. There's going to be a large portion of the book that's going to revolve around these eras. And it basically breaks the Old Testament down into nine eras. And then there's a little break where it talks about the poetical and prophecy books and how they get superimposed. And then it has three New Testament eras. So in here, we're just going to go breeze through them, and you're going to get a chance to look at them. And keep in mind that for the next 9 weeks after this, is we're going to go through each one of these eras in detail. So this here is just kind of like we're just kind of flying over. We're just seeing, okay, this is kind of where we're headed. And then we're going to back up, and we'll drill down into the creation era. And then the week after that, we'll drill down into the patriarch era. And so the patriarch era is the birth of the Hebrew people through a family of patriarchs covering a period of about 200 years. And it's kind of interesting in the Bible, the way the Bible's laid out, is all of this, these two eras are contained in the book of Genesis. And the first 11 chapters talks about this stuff here. And it's roughly a period of about 2,000 years. So God goes from creation, the fall, the flood, and then to the Tower of Babel in 11 chapters, 2,000 years. And then we slow down to, we get to chapter 12 through 50, covers 200 years. Yes?
What's a patriarch?
I'm going to get to that. The point I'm trying to make right now is that you have God spending 11 chapters to cover 2,000 years, and he covers something as important as the creation, the fall of man, the flood of Noah, and then languages. How did all languages come to be? Does that in 11 chapters, 2,000 years worth of stuff. And then we hit here to the patriarch era, and which is really the story of four guys. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And you don't have to worry about that because we're going to drill down to that. But these patriarchs are, I think if you look up patriarch, it means like father. And so these are the guys that the Hebrews would look back on as the beginning of the whole Jewish thing. So because God made a bunch of promises to Abraham. Those promises were passed to Isaac, his son, and then Isaac to his son Jacob, and then through Jacob and Joseph, and then through the 12 tribes. So you have this era. It's interesting, I need to go back up. It's interesting that they spent this much time. Number one, I think if we were even able to comprehend how God created everything, you know, if we were able to do that, which I don't think we are, it would just be massive volumes of stuff, okay? And so I think what God really focused on here is people, okay? And so we can see how God interacted with these guys directly. And when you read through the lives of these patriarchs, the beginning of the Hebrew nation, it's pretty amazing. There's a lot of hope in there when you read that. So the next era is Exodus, because what happened is basically these guys here, there were 70 of them, they went down into Egypt, and then they were there for 400 years, and there was a couple million of them. They said, we got to get out of here. Moses said, let my people go. So the Exodus of the Hebrew people is they were delivered out of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. So then the next thing is the conquest. Once they got out, you know, they wandered the desert for 40 years, and now they're going to go into the promised land. So Joshua takes them into the promised land, and the conquest of the promised land by the Hebrew people upon their return from Egypt. So this is another era that they move through. And then you have, after that, once they get there, they have this Judges era. And this is kind of an interesting thing. 400-year period during which Israel was governed by rulers called judges. You might remember Gideon or Samson were a couple of the judges. Okay, here again, we're going to drill down into each one of these eras here in the weeks to come. It's actually kind of interesting. Then you have the kingdom era. God had designed them to be like a theocracy, and they had these judges appointed, and they're looking around, and they're saying, well, everybody else has a king, we want a king. And so God said, okay, you want a king? He gave them Saul, and then David, and then Solomon are the big ones that we know of. And then after that, a whole bunch of bad kings. I mean, basically, things kind of fell apart. So an additional 400-year period during which Israel becomes a full-fledged monarchy. Monarchy is just another name for a system of government where you got a king. And so, and then what happens is they go through that 400-year period, and after Solomon, the kings are pretty much all of them are bad. There's a few good ones in there. But what happens is they become divided. Assyria comes in, conquers the northern kingdom of Israel. And then Babylon comes in and says, no, I want it all. And they take over the southern kingdom of Judah. And basically, they go into exile. And so that's where the book of Daniel picks up, where Daniel and his buddies are there in Babylon. So a 70-year period. They're down there for 70 years, which Israel's leaders live in exile, having been conquered by foreign countries. Well, you're there for 70 years. The only thing left to do is to return, right? It's getting really complicated now. So they're going to return. And the return of the exiled Jews to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. This is where Ezra and Nehemiah and Esther, those books come into play during this time. And then you have this silence era. And this is where the 400 years, a final 400-year period between the close of the Old Testament and opening of the New Testament. So it's kind of this quiet time. There's no written revelation from God. You know, he's definitely at work. He's allowing Alexander to conquer the known world so that we could have the Greek, the Koine Greek, the best, most precise written language. The Romans came to power so that they could build the roads that Paul would use to go and spread the gospel. So there wasn't written revelation at this time, but God was definitely at work. I mean, I think we talked about it before. You know, Caesar said, I want everybody to go to their homeland to get counted for the census so I can get more taxes. I don't think there'd be any other way that you could get Mary to ride on a donkey 70 miles when she's like getting ready to give birth. No way. So, I mean, who is really in charge? You know, you got to think about it. So that's it. Those are the eras. And, you know, it's a good thing if you can remember creation, patriarch, Exodus, conquest, judges, kingdom, exile, return, and silence. But you're going to know them because we're going to keep going through them, because we'll go through the creation era and you'll learn everything about the creation era. And then the following week, we'll go through the patriarch era, and then you'll do that plus the creation era. So when you, if you take a look at your book, you'll see that every week you get one more era added, plus you write everything on every one that you've covered up until that point. So by the time you're done with it, you're going to have it. Okay, you're going to have it. So let's see what's next. So this here, if you look, we're going through the different eras now. The creation era, the main figure, got to be Adam. I mean, who else could it be? He's the man, all right? So he was the first man. And then you go to the patriarch era. You have Abraham. And Abraham was the first patriarch. Okay? And then you have the Exodus era. The main guy there was Moses. I mean, we all saw the movie. We know it was Moses. Okay? He was the leader of the Exodus. You notice how, like here, we got, I mean, Adam, he's the first man. The first patriarch in the patriarch era. Moses, the leader of the Exodus. Okay, Joshua was the leader of Israel's army. The judges era, they got Samson as the main judge. I don't know if I'd have made him the main judge, but he's in there. He's the most famous one. Everybody remembers about Samson, yeah. And the kingdom era, it has to be David. He's the most famous Israelite king. In the exile era, you have Daniel, and he's the major, there's a big word, exilic. He's the major prophet in the exile era. And then in the return, Ezra, he's the central return leader. And in the silence era, you have the Pharisees. They're the religious leaders. So here again, this is all of this is in your book. So I want to finish on time, and we're getting a little bit behind. So here again, creation, more of the same. More of the same. So I'm going to zip through it. You got Adam. Abraham was the major patriarch. There was actually four of them. Abraham, his son Isaac, his son Jacob, and then Jacob's, one of Jacob's sons, Joseph. And then you have the Exodus. Moses was the main character. The conquest, you have Joshua. The judges era, you have Samson. Kingdom is David. You notice, you see how we're just kind of doing the same stuff. We just covered this. We're doing it again. We're doing it again. So the exile, you have Daniel. Return is Ezra. Silence is the Pharisees. So let's go again. Okay. This here is kind of nice. I want you to look up here. I know a lot of you are writing, trying to get it done. You got 2 weeks. Let's look up here for a second. This is the arc of Bible history, and this goes a long ways because this gives you something that you can visualize. It's another tool that you can use. So that when you look at this, you can see here, here's the creation era. Okay, you got a picture of a guy here. I think that's Abraham. Does anybody recognize that guy? I think that is Abraham. See, he's the first patriarch. And then you're in Egypt, so we got to exit out of Egypt. That's the Exodus. And then here you have the conquest, you have the swords, and then you have the judges, and then the kingdom, and then the exile, then the return, and then the silence, and then the gospel, the church, and missions. So you have the whole Bible here in 12 eras. So periodically, when you go through the book, you're going to see this. And so they're going to have you associate here, number one, the creation era with this little picture. Okay? Same way here. Oh, that's the patriarch. So you write it here. So you're making these associations. Kind of like you're taking that pencil, you're putting it to paper. Now you're connecting it up with a photo. So, yeah, let's go to the next one. Here again, the creation era, the main guy was Adam. Where was it at? Is in Eden. The patriarch era, you got Abraham. Where was it at? Canaan. Okay? And now we got the Exodus era. Moses is the main guy. He's in Egypt. Conquest is Joshua. And where was that at? Canaan. Okay? So, let's go. Now we got the judges. Canaan again. Kingdom era, David. Israel, same piece of real estate. Okay? The exact same piece of real estate here. Just gets its name changed at this point. Okay? The name gets changed in here. Okay, so the exile took place in Babylonia. The return era is Ezra, and that's in Jerusalem. That's where they're going back to. The silence era, that's the Pharisees, and that's in Jerusalem. So let's go to the next one. That's it. So we did it. We made it through three of these chapters of this book. What I need for you to do is, first of all, okay, we're always at that point where people want to start talking and thinking we're actually done when we're really not. It's universal. It always happens. The thing that you want to think about is if you're going to help out over with the kids, you want to put your name on that list, whether it's going to be to help out or if it's going to be to bring popcorn or whatever. Before you leave, you want to make sure you pick up one of these homework sheets. You got 2 weeks, I would recommend doing it twice. And the thing of it is the stuff that's on these papers, if you can't, when you're done, if you can't actually fill it out, just take a piece of notebook paper and do the same thing on another piece of paper. So we're going to learn Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and the next three on that list, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. There I go, got my fingers up there again. Because you know what? I can look at my fingers, and I know that's Ruth. You know? That's just me. Whatever it takes. Maybe you memorize the first letter of each one of those books. I wish Julie's here. Julie has a song that she has for the kids. Memorize the books. That's what we're going for because we want to know the whole Bible. So we got 2 minutes. I just want to read you one thing. This guy, Joseph, he's one of the patriarchs, right? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Well, Joseph, I don't know if you've read the story or not, but if you haven't read Genesis, you just got to read Genesis because it's just a really great book. And the last section of Genesis is about the life of Joseph. And Joseph, he was kind of a dreamer. He had these dreams, and he told his brothers, "You guys are going to be bowing down to me." And they really didn't like him, you know. And so I'm going to really condense the story. The brothers, they're going to kill Joseph, basically. They want to kill him. They got him in a pit, and they're going to, take him out. And one of the brothers says, "Oh, let's not take him out. There was this caravan going by. Let's just sell him as a slave to these guys going down to Egypt." So Joseph goes down to Egypt, you know, and he goes to, he gets sold as a slave to the attorney general of the Egypt, the top cop, Potiphar, right? He's working in the house, and Potiphar thinks, man, this guy's the best thing since sliced bread. Puts him over his whole house. Potiphar's wife looks at him and thinks, ooh, he's kind of hot, right? So she makes the move on him, and he says, I don't want nothing to do with this. And so she gets mad and tells her husband, hey, this guy was hitting on me. So Potiphar throws him in prison. So he's in prison, and he meets up with these guys there, and he interprets some dreams, and he tells them, hey, when you get out, remember me, man, because I'm here on bogus charges. You got to let me out. They forget about him. He's in jail. He's in jail for a long time. And so finally, they remember him, and he gets out, and he interprets some dreams for Pharaoh, and he works his way up to be second in charge of Egypt. Okay, so he's second in charge of, I mean, Pharaoh, like, he's got the Pharaoh's ring, you know, the signet ring where he could, like, stamp the Pharaoh's name on contracts like he was the man. Second in charge of all of Egypt, right? So meanwhile, he's interpreted these dreams and convinced the Pharaoh we need to store up this food because there's going to be a big famine. Meanwhile, his brothers are still up in Canaan. And dad says, hey, I heard they got food down in Egypt. Go down to Egypt and get some food. So they go down there, and here's Joseph now. Here's his brothers, and they don't realize that this is their brother. He's probably got his head shaved, you know, and he doesn't really look like a Hebrew. And so basically, eventually they find out. He tells them, look, I'm your brother, the one you sold into slavery. And they're like, oh no. You know, here this guy, second in charge of Egypt, and, you know, he's got the power to basically wipe us out. And he basically says, you know, don't worry about it. He put him through a little bit of stuff. But when their dad dies, when Jacob dies, they're really worried. They're really worried at this point because they're thinking, hey, dad's gone now. Joseph is going to retaliate, you know. They're thinking, that's what I would do. So Joseph, he, this is that their dad had just died and they're worried. And Joseph says to them, he says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? He said, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. And so, here again, it kind of goes back to the Jeremiah 29:11 thing where, you know, things are maybe not always right. And I can say right now, for me, things aren't always really right. And the thing of it is when you're in the middle of stuff, you know, from a God's eye view, you know, God is working it all out. You know, he says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so that's the New Testament version, I think, of what Joseph went through. When he was in prison, you know, things weren't good. And he was there for a long time. Things weren't good. But when it was all over and his brothers are worried, he says, hey, you know, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good because right now people could be saved. And so, you know, I'm saying this to me as much as I'm saying it to you is that, you know, when you have tough things going on, you got to think about Joseph and all the years he spent in prison and things were going not good. But in the end, God has the plan, and he's sovereign over everything. So just want to leave that with you, and that's making me feel good right now. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for who you are. And Lord, I just pray for your spirit to just energize everyone in here that they would do their homework, that they would read their Bible so that they could know you. Just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right. See you in 2 weeks.